Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone in here to the Clay County Corner from the historic old Clay County Courthouse right here in the middle of downtown Salina. I believe the GPS on this thing is 100 Courthouse Square, so we're pleased to be here this morning on this nice, crisp morning. We're kind of getting things straightened up in here after all of the stuff going on around Christmas, and we're working on that and getting ready for our sesquicentennial celebration coming up here in June. And so we might talk a little bit about that this morning. Ms. Mary Lloyd Renault is here with us this morning, and I know we've got some things to talk about the museum and just generally some of the historical things that have gone on here in the Clay County. Sometimes we converse and get off on all kinds of various different things, and we'll be doing that here in just a little bit. But before that, we'd like to remind everyone that we do come to you live and live in color on WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country each Thursday morning here at 9 o'clock, and also there's a rebroadcast at 6 o'clock this evening, and also that the shows are streaming on the Del Holler Horizon newspaper site. So all of those things are available to you, and of course this program comes to you through the assistance of the Clay County Chamber and the three-star program here in Salina, and all the great sponsors that put their money down on the table to make this possible. And we invite everyone to go and shop with all of our local merchants, and especially the ones that help sponsor our show here. And with that, we'll be back here in a little bit. We've got our birthdays and anniversaries today. A whole bunch of important things to talk about, so we'll be back just in a few minutes.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
Our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back, everyone. Just sitting here off camera, Mary Lloyd and I were sitting here talking about some things, and she was talking about a little project that she and Johnny McLaren are working on. Mary Lloyd, kind of talk about that a little bit.
Well, it's about Old Town. A lot of people that live here now don't realize that Salina, the main square of Salina, they think it's been here forever, but it's not, because the city of Salina was really incorporated in 1846 in Jackson County. And I've got the act of the legislature that tells about that and everything, and what the boundaries were and all that kind of stuff. Well, now that people are my age, which is very young, we are trying to reconstruct what Old Town maybe looked like. Because at one time there were big wharfs down on the riverbanks. The riverboats came up from Nashville and they would go all the way to Burnside, Kentucky, and people traveled up and down the rivers. We had hotels down there, and people would stop off at night and spend the night and then go the trip back down. And we're just trying to plot where the buildings were. We know where some were. We've got a lot of pictures of them. And if anybody's hearing this and they have any pictures of anything that they believe is Old Town, if they will get in touch with me or with Johnny McLaren, who's my nephew, we will scan them and give them right back to you so that we've got them to use as this project goes forward. But it seems to be everybody doesn't remember the same thing, and we're trying to get as accurate as we can, and as we go along, you know, we find different people who live down there or their family live down there that are telling us more about it. So, you know, Old Town Salina was actually during the 1860s was burnt during the Civil War.
Right.
And everything. And we want to get who all was living there. And we've got a lot of it in the history books, in the history book. And then we have three or four histories at the museum that different people who lived here wrote. I know we've got one by Isaac Fitzgerald, we've got one for W.L. Brown, we've got one by Landon Anderson, and a lot of them tell different, have a different aspect on it, of course, what they did and everything would have. W.L. Brown's probably depicts the local town down there better, as much as anybody's we know. And it started back in the early 1900s, you know, and everything. Because they had big stores down there.
And I know, I saw, you may have seen this too, somebody on Facebook had posted a little, I don't know, I guess it was a trip that had a group of maybe merchants and folks from down in Nashville had come from Nashville all the way up to the end of the steamboat run, and they was going through the details of all the different. You didn't see that?
No.
I'll see if I can find that, but they went through each one of the little riverboat stops all the way up the river, the ones in Jackson County, all the way up through, and talking about, and it was actually, I think they were calling it a tourism and economic development trip.
Well, that's been a long time ago.
It was long time ago.
It had to be because once Wolf Creek Dam was built, you couldn't go on up. You know,
right.
That kind of stopped the traffic from going up. But, you know, there were a lot of stops up and down because, you know, they stopped at Butler's Landing up above here. They started at Martinsburg and on up through in Kentucky and back down, you know, to the different things. And I know somebody posted on Facebook here a while back, Brooks is Ferry. And it came out of, somebody saw it in a magazine. Brooks is Ferry in Clay County. Well, I didn't know of a Brooks is Ferry in Clay County. And when I kind of looked, the only thing, closest thing I could come that I knew about was McMillan's Landing, which is up at the Turkey Neck Bend where the ferry goes across now. But that's not it. It's in Jackson County. But see, when it was, a lot of people don't know that part of Clay County was Jackson County at one time, you know, and everything. So it's kind of confusing to a lot of people who don't understand or haven't seen the maps or read a lot of the histories to figure this out. And we don't know everything, but my family goes back into the late 1800s that we've got a lot of information on, and we're getting more. But I know the other day we found a picture of the house my daddy was born in up at Frog Springs. That's where the lake was built, and it's got written on it. I know my grandmother wrote it on there that he was born in this house in 1915. And that's a prized possession of ours right now, you know, the house. And where Fox Springs was, if you're familiar with the lake, if you go into Mitchell's Creek, right on the left-hand side was the little community, and right in the mouth of Mitchell's Creek and back up in it is where Fox Springs was. And my grandmother taught school there, and I've got a picture of her class and everything.
Let's take a little short break and come back. We'll be right back in a minute. Did you see the thing?
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed, and you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we gonna do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep.
We're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back, everyone. I know we're working on, I say we, there's a committee here that's kind of working up stuff for the sesquicentennial, and I know a lot of folks have been working on family trees, and I know that it sparked a lot of interest and a lot of the minds of a lot of folks to track down some things and to kind of learn ways of finding out information on some of your forefathers and stuff. And it's amazing that the amount of stuff that's out there on the internet, you know, all of the, really a whole lot of the things that the families didn't want to talk about a couple of generations ago is now on the internet for everybody to go
right,
look up.
Right. Well, I understand they're going to, all these that were turned in to the committee of the genealogy stuff, they're going to make a book out of it, I understand. And everything, because there was a deadline of the 31st of December to get your family tree in so that they could get it done and everything.
Now,
so,
they may still be accepting some now. I'm not sure.
I'm not either, but I knew that was the deadline.
Yeah, that was the deadline. I know they went past that a little bit. And I know Melissa maybe was working on some, maybe the first of this week.
Well, I had gotten most of mine done, and then I handed mine to Johnny so he could get off of it what he needed, and then he found some that I didn't even know about on mine, you know, different ones that I know we were talking about my grandmother's brothers and sisters, and I went through the ones I know. He says, I believe there was some more, but I think maybe there was half-sisters and stuff. So sometimes it's hard to figure out who's the daddy sometimes, how they may be kin to you, you know.
Well, yeah, I know, to me, it's really amazing. If you go online to these ancestry and these places, that you can, I'm sure you don't have to go through them. I'm sure there's places there at government sites where you can actually go back and look at the handwritten copies of the censuses from back in the late 17th, the first census.
Yes.
So you can actually see some of the handwritten pages.
Oh, yeah. I just see all those all the time.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's just looking at things, you know, that people put on paper back in the early 1800s.
Right. Uh-huh. Right.
To go through there and see the name of someone that you heard your grandma talking about being a great-great-grandpa.
The ones that everybody's wanting to know about is, I believe, the 1890s, and they were the census records that were destroyed. I believe that's the ones Johnny was telling me about. All the government records were destroyed, so there's not anything for a period of 10 years in there. So it kind of jumps, because I know we do a lot of, through the United Daughters Confederacy, do a lot of work on people that have relatives who were Confederate soldiers and that kind of stuff. And sometimes it's hard to, you have to go back maybe through a marriage license and everything to find out the actual connections and everything.
Death certificates, marriage
death
license.
Certificates, right. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of states that have photocopies of deeds and things like
right.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, when you're in Clay County, it gets kind of complicated here because we have, you know, like three or four or five counties that you may have to go search to find information about your forefathers, because we have, you know, the counties out of Kentucky, folks moving back and forth across
well,
the state line.
You know, one of the things people don't realize that when Tennessee was started, and of course it was North Carolina first, then there was state of Franklin, and then it became the state of Tennessee, and when Davidson County was formed, if you look at a map that shows this, it shows everything inside the Cumberland River from the Tennessee line down through towards Nashville and back up was Davidson County. And then as the different counties come, Sumner County then was made out a part of that. Then it ran over to the Cumberland River, which is here. So this county was probably part of Davidson. It was probably kept part of Sumner. It may have been part of, well, we know it's part of Jackson and Overton, but I think we've been in three states here, North Carolina, state of Franklin, and Tennessee. And a lot of people don't realize that it all ran far, because when Tennessee was first in 1796, there was just a few counties up in the east, and then there was Davidson County. And the territory in between was Indian Territory. And on the state, you go to the Secretary of State's website, and you can find a map that talks about the formations of the counties. And it starts with the North Carolina bunch in, I believe, maybe 1777, and it shows what it would look like. Then you point to the next year up, and it adds the counties as they came in and tells what they came from and
right.
How they were done and everything. And it's very, people come in and ask me, I said, let me show you this. They says, good, now we didn't realize this is all like this. But it's very, and I have no doubt, somebody at school ought to get that to be able to show that to kids as you come up through, because some counties, and it'll go along and it'll have several counties, and then in the corner of two or three of them, it'll have a little green spot. And it would say, this county was established but never organized. So what they did, they started it,
right?
But then it never was completed, and it went back away. And Putnam County was first established. It wasn't done right. And then several years in between, it was abolished. And several years in between, there wasn't any Putnam County, and then it came back in a few years later.
You know, and you look through some of these things, they're kind of interesting. I know you can, you go through the census thing, and I know I was looking through some and ran across one where one of the person they had gotten like a 250-acre land grant up in Kentucky, and you go through and look and saw where they had maybe five or six slaves on mm-hmm. that farm. And then you notice the next time they show up, they're down in Tennessee.
That's because the line moved.
And also, you get to thinking that slave owners up in Kentucky along about 1860 and along in there, mm-hmm. up through the Civil War, a lot of them left up in Kentucky to get away from, especially near here, get away from Champ Ferguson.
Well, that's true.
You know,
I'm
because
right.
he had a bad habit of going around and shooting people.
Well, he did, but he's just like... He's just like a lot of people.
Right, but you could think, they feared for their lives,
right.
So they left Kentucky
right.
and came down into Tennessee.
Yeah. Well, you know, of course, he's supposedly buried over in White County. I've been over to the cemetery where he's been buried and everything, and he was originally from up in Clinton County, Kentucky. That's where he was. But it was so Union that he moved down into Tennessee and everything, but... they were kind of wild back then, you know, during the war between the states. And up in this neck of the woods, it wasn't like fighting like they fought down in Franklin, where they just fought face-to-face.
Right.
Up here was like Indian fighting, and behind one tree and out between the others, and I'm mad at them, and we're going to get rid of them, you know. So.
You know, I guess a lot of feuds were settled.
Oh, yeah, there was. And, there was Tinker Baby that was on the Union side, and there was Champ Ferguson that was on the Confederate side, and of course, they didn't like each other and everything. And, of course, we had, in this county, we had O.P. Hamilton, which is kin to the Hamilton family here, and actually the old log house on the Gainsborough Highway up on the right, just leaving town, was built by Adam Hamilton, who was O.P.'s daddy. And it was built for his daughter. Do you remember where Duraplastic is down there? There was the old arms house and stuff?
Right.
Well, that was the old house, really, of Adam Hamilton and stuff, because the arms has just got it as time went on.
Right.
I'd always known about the log house down here, but we always called it the Markham house, because that's who was built. But when you go tracing back, you see where it goes back to the one of the Markham girls married Fowler, and it came on up through, and that's how everybody in my generation knew about it, you know, and everything. So there's a lot of stuff in this county that people really don't know about, and I don't know about everything, but every day I learn something new.
Well, now, what are we going to do about all that?
Well, we're trying to make records of it and, you know, get it into it, because a lot of this stuff I know is not in any of the history books, but, you know, it's just like when I started surveying the cemeteries to find all the Confederate soldiers. Well, the funniest thing was there was a family over in the West End, and you have to understand that the river divided our county, because on the west side was Union mostly, and on the east side was all Confederate just about. But so one day, one of the families told me, oh, they've got so-and-so that's a soldier, fought in the Civil War. So that's okay. So I looked up in my books, and I found his Confederate records and everything. So I went out to the cemetery to find him. And when I went up there, his headstone was a Union headstone. And I said, wait a minute. So then I went back, and look, I've got some books that the state did, and looked under the Union soldiers, and his name was there, too. So what had happened, and this was not something, this was pretty common. Maybe he joined the Confederacy. He got captured and was put in a prison camp someplace. And then they would say, if you will swear allegiance back to the United States, then we'll put you in the Union Army. Now, they didn't send them back to fight down here. They sent them out west to fight Indians. So when this fella died, it was during the time when he was a Union officer, because the U.S. government didn't know anything about the Confederate records and everything. So we always called those that they were galvanized. They were Confederates and then were in the prison camps and were in the Union doses. Nothing wrong with that. I put him up a Confederate flag every year because I have papers that shows that he was a Confederate soldier and everything, but a lot of times that happens. That's nothing unusual.
Especially when you're fighting each other.
That's exactly right, you know, because he's brother from brother and father against sons and everything. So, but there wasn't any big battles here. But the last skirmish in the war between the states was in this county. And it's what we call the Battle of Indian Graves. I have an excerpt from A.L. Dale, who was a captain in the Confederacy, and of the original Dale family from this county, where he told about that they met, came upon these Union soldiers at the ford, the Gates Ford on the Obi River. And that would be just about where the bridge is going across the Obi. And they, of course, the lake and stuff wasn't there, so they ran them. They ran them, and they had to cross the river on up about Horse Creek or thereabouts and came up at the Indian graves. And everybody may not know Mark's Indian graves, but there used to be a little church over there. And there's four big trees over there, if you know where it is. The church sit right in the middle of them. And Marion Hayes,
right.
They lived in that little white house that was next to it, and that was it. And they chased those Confederates, he told them, blow by blow, chased them all the way to Standing Stone.
Did they ever capture them?
Well, no. Well, they so many got killed, you know, it tells about this.
Yeah.
And it's very enlightening to read the records, because I have a lot of the actual records of the war, battles of the war and things that happened in this area that mention Salina in them. And if you read the ones that the Union soldiers wrote, it says one thing. If you read the ones the Confederate soldiers wrote, it doesn't tell it quite the same. So it's very, you know, you kind of have to just take it for what it's worth and everything. So that's just part of our history here in this county that a lot of people don't know about.
And with this thing coming up with our 150th,
right.
You know, it has sparked some interest in a lot of people.
Right.
And like I said, a lot of folks have been doing the ancestry search and trying to remember some of the stories that great-grandpa told them and that type of thing. And, you know, one of the biggest things to do with the folks that are working with this is to get this down on tape, on typewritten paper,
right.
Some things where it's going to be there.
Video and everything.
Videos for the next generation.
Right.
And something along that line, if you have any old VHS tapes of any kind, of activities, a family picnic, it don't matter what it is, if it's still, playable, we would love to take that and convert it over to digital video where we can
preserve it forever.
Once you get it digitized, you can store it in so many different places that it can be kept up with. And like I said, we can take, various bits of things and put them together and get a lot of information. If you have anything like that, we would probably even welcome some old film. If we get hold of some of those things. I know some folks still have some of those little old, what millimeter was it?
8 millimeter.
That little 8 millimeter cameras that everyone had just blurbs of old basketball games,
right.
Football games, any kind of events going on anywhere.
When my nephews and them race motorcycles, I filmed a whole lot of that stuff, and we put it over on, I just had them on the little reels. And then I had them all put together and put on digital tape, not on digital, on the VHS. And we've got those. And I know Rob Weir had handed me one the other day that had some stuff on it, and it won't open on my computer, so I don't know what he did. I don't know what he did with it, but we've got it.
Well, Mary Lloyd,
we're just talking good, aren't we?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to let you go here in a minute. We've got another guest coming up here in a minute.
That'd be fine.
But before we do that, I'm going to read my birthdays, my anniversary.
Okay.
Remind everyone, the number 243-5574 to get your name on this list. And we've got quite a few on the list today. Beginning with, and I hope I've got this first name right, Buna Faye Willis. She's 7 years old on this past week. She's the great-granddaughter of Sherman and Liz Brown. And also Lisa Davis on June the 6th celebrated the birthday. And looking on down through our line, Teresa Strong on the 7th, Eva Allen on the 4th, Mr. Johnny Smith, I believe, on the 4th, and I believe he was maybe 88 years old. Had a big crowd down at the community center, I think, to wish him a happy birthday. Amelia Barksdale on the 8th. Gary J. Strong on the 9th. Ronnie Wilmoth on the 6th. And Doug McLaren on the 6th. And also, this is the birthday of a very important piece of equipment. On this day in 2007, Stephen Jobs gave birth to the iPhone. And then on the 8th day, Elvis Presley was born in 1935.
Young fella.
Yeah. Well, with that, let's take a little short break, and we'll be back just in a minute. Thanks, Mary Lloyd, for being with us this morning.
All right, appreciate it,
Tom. All right, we'll holler at you again later.
All right.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care.
Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back, everyone. We finally got Mary Lloyd run off. It's always a pleasure to have her here with us. She and I have had many, many conversations over the years.
It's easy to listen.
Various things. And, of course, she is the director out at the Clay County Museum. And they have just all kinds of stuff out there. But they're kind of limited on space, where they can bring large groups in. But if you'd like to schedule, to bring a small group in over there to look at some things or do some research, just give her a call over there or drop by there. I think they're open most about 4 or 5 days a week for part of the day. And there are just all kinds of things there. But they have been inundated, I guess, lots of things to sort out and try to straighten out to get stuff where, they can do the research on them. But drop over by there sometime and visit with them a while. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Thomas.
I give you a chance to introduce yourself again.
Well, thank you for that. My name is Julie Crow, and I'm here to talk to you about the future of Salina and a wonderful job opportunity that Clay County is just now opening. It's got a long name. It's called Tennessee Teleworks, Clay County Work at Home Job Center. It's actually a brick and mortar building, Thomas, that's all about work at home jobs. We're located at 112 Donaldson Avenue, right across the street from Miss Frances Donaldson's beautiful home. And we have a phone number. I'm going to go give it out a couple of times. It's 243-2511. What we're going to do at Tennessee Teleworks is we're going to help people find work-at-home jobs, Thomas. The work-at-home job industry has been growing exponentially for the past 15 years, and it's an industry that's very easy to get into right now. There's a lot of new jobs if you live in big cities like Uber drivers, Lyft drivers, Grubhub drivers. There's even new jobs picking orders and delivering them from grocery stores and Walmarts in big cities, but rural areas have not been able to cash in on those kind of new jobs today, but we can cash in on the work at home jobs. So that's what we're going to do.
And I know from experience of working with online things over the years, and we have one of the greatest infrastructures, network infrastructures for connecting to the outside world through the internet. the speed of things we can do here with our infrastructure is only limited to the type of equipment we put on each end of it.
That is true. And thanks to our local Twin Lakes Telephone Co-op having the vision, they went to a lot of trouble and expense bringing high-speed broadband internet with fiber optics to every house in Clay County. And in doing so, they have provided us a new highway, a new road to go to work on. This can be an economic game changer for distressed counties, Thomas, where new industry is not only not coming in, but a lot of counties in the distressed Upper Cumberland are losing their hospitals, just like we are, and creating even more of a work void vacuum. So again, the new highway to work is going to allow us to hook people up with one of the many dozens, if not hundreds, of corporations that have cashed in on the economic value of work-at-home employees. You know, we come to work every day sick, Thomas. We don't, inclement weather does not keep us from getting to work. We're work-at-home employees are very much wanted out there in the business world, and therefore it's a really industry to get into if you have the computer equipment and the broadband internet. And I know not all of us have that. So what Tennessee Teleworks has done, Thomas, is we have put 13 computers in this building. We have the gig speed internet, and we've already done all of the research needed to find the best companies to hook you up with for your first work-at-home job.
Okay, so this is it a training area, or is it a place where you can permanently come in and...
It is not a permanent job. It is, I guess you could call us career specialists in the new work-at-home industry. I've been in the industry myself for over 5 years now. I've done a lot of research over those 5 years, not only for my own benefit, but I've been trying to bring this idea to Clay County for a little over a year now. And thanks to Mr. Doug Young and the ECD committee on the three-star program here on in Clay County, as well as a grant from Twin Lakes. They believe in this so much, Thomas, that they've given us $30,000 total to put this out there for everybody to take advantage of.
Okay, now just exactly when you they give you a call and you say, come on in.
That's right.
Then what happens?
Then what happens is we set them up. We get a little bit of information from them, Thomas, because everybody loves data. Everybody that's going to help us do this loves to know what you're doing now, what a work-at-home job will do for you, easy stuff like that. We're going to help you do some brush-up skills training. Most of us type with our thumbs now, Thomas. We're going to get you back onto a keyboard with some easy touch typing. We're going to help you do some Microsoft skill assessments that will add some certifications to your resume. And when we get you all up and running with that, takes, I think we've got about, 16 hours of training to help you get everything up to snuff and be ready for a job at the work online. And then we're going to help you, like I said, find the company that's best for you. There are companies with paid training, companies that don't have paid training, companies that are going to make you an employee with benefits, companies that are going to leave you an independent contractor so you can schedule yourself whenever you need to work or want to work, and they leave you a lot of flexibility. The hardest thing to wrap your head around, Thomas, is that as many jobs that are out there in brick-and-mortar buildings now, the online industry has just as many.
Okay, with that, let's stop a second, take a little short break,
Absolutely.
Pay for this program, come back, and we'll get a little bit more in depth.
All right.
We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back, everyone. We'd like to once again welcome you here to the Clay County Corner, coming to you from the historic Clay County Courthouse. And of course, I'd like to thank Ms. Mary Lloyd Renault for coming by earlier this morning. And now Ms. Julie Crow is here with us and talking about the Work at Home Initiative program that that she's kind of brought into Clay County, kicking and screaming, and made some great progress on some things. And I know that being involved with the network here for basically back from 1990, that we've had this infrastructure here forever, and I know that we've had, you know, politicians to come by and make big speeches on how they were going to get the money to bring the fiber to the home and all those things. But what Julie's working at is, hey, we've had fiber to the home. Now we've got fiber to the home. Now, how are you going to help us take care of using that fiber at home?
Absolutely. And, you know, it helps us follow Facebook on our cell phones when we're at home, Thomas. A lot of us have the Internet at home. Some of us are streaming our TVs on the Internet at home. And it just maybe hasn't occurred to a lot of people that we can turn that into a working job at home. You know, we had the Active Network call center here in town. Remember Active
right.
Network here? I even worked there when I first moved to Salina for a little bit. It was sad when Active Network sold and left Salina, but when they did that, Thomas, they left some work at home employees. They actually provided them with computer equipment and said, you know, if you want to continue this in your home, we'll set you up on the internet, and they did exactly that. And that's why that company sold out. A lot of people didn't understand at the time, Thomas, that was just the trend. The trend was to get out of the big call centers. It's much more economical for the corporations to employ us at home. And so the company that bought Active Network out bought it out with that in mind. Their headquarters, I understand, are now in Texas somewhere, but they were already set up for work-at-home employees, and I think the people who took them up on it, there are still some actually doing it. You'd be surprised how many people in Clay County are working at home.
Okay, now just exactly what did that group do? I mean, what was their main emphasis with their online jobs?
What they did was all of the state wildlife, like here it's the Tennessee.
Right.
Yeah. Every state sells licenses,
right?
And they don't want to employ state employees to do that. So they contract the selling of those out from state websites and over the phone. Different companies put bids in for that customer service work. That's kind of how the whole industry works. That's how Amazon fills a lot of their positions. Disney, Comcast. You know, a lot of times when you order a pizza over Pizza Hut, 800 number, you're talking to somebody at home. So it's far and wide who you might end up working for.
Okay, right now, maybe the major field that the work-at-home folks are working in, is there a major field that has more employees at home than some of the others?
A surprising statistic that always just surprises me, Thomas, is that 80% of the people who work at home actually have bachelor's degrees. That's kind of how this started. But it has finally trickled down to basic entry-level customers. So as a broad general description, basic customer service takes up a huge portion of it. The biggest growing industries, however, are education and health. People are seeing doctors and nurse practitioners over their smartphones. Teachers in this country are teaching children in other countries. Instead of sending your children to a school in a huge city that you may not think is safe, a lot of parents, instead of buying bulletproof backpacks these days, are putting their children on K12.com.
So there's really... And I know back years ago we had people working here with the medical industry where they were doing like billing, coding, and things like that. Is that still one of the things that we have?
That is still one of the things, billing, coding, working for the insurance agencies, following up on benefit payments. Yes, the medical industry is always going to be big. A place for mom. I've worked at a couple of companies myself where you have a place for mom agents. So, again, anything you can think of, it is there.
Okay, and I know that we had a network here at one time where we were connected to all of the schools, all of the county offices and things, and we were set up where we had graduate students that were taking classes from Tennessee Tech. And there would be a group of maybe five or six, seven people in Salina, a group of a few down in Jackson County, over in Overton County, and the teacher sometimes would just teach from Cookeville at their office at Tennessee Tech, or sometimes they would rotate over to Salina and teach the other classes from here in Salina and that type thing. And also, I do know that we have a lot of teachers now that that started teaching in school systems, public school system, private or whatever, and they would they would leave to have their first child. Then the third child came along, and they decided, you know, they couldn't enter the workforce anymore. And I do know now that a lot of school districts are hiring those folks who are excellently credentialed teachers to actually teach from home, where they would teach a number of classes at site at the school from their home.
Exactly. And unfortunately, a lot of people who thought they would be retired now or were semi-retired are coming back to work through different industries for the same reason. The work-at-home industry, Thomas, is a non-discriminatory job industry. If you're handicapped, if you have if you have any restrictions as to when you can work, like I said, flexibility is a big thing. Coming back in as a senior, you don't have to put, I don't even put my age on any time I've ever applied. They've never known how old I was.
What do you think that may have made a difference?
The cool thing is, Thomas, it doesn't. If you can pass the classes, and again, everything's online. Once you get a job, you're online, your training is online. As long as you can do the job and please the customers, you can even move up.
Well, Dan, you know, a lot of, especially folks that are, I guess, of my generation and a few years on either side of it, always felt like when we were dealing with someone that we liked that personal touch, where that we, you know, we looked at who we were dealing with and that type thing. But, you know, I think we have a few generations now, because we see it all the time where we see two kids sitting back-to-back texting each other, that I think that they, you know, they feel like that it is a personal connection that we didn't, and we still sometimes don't feel that personal connection with the digital connection. But I think that so many of these this generation coming up do.
They do, and the online industry hears you, Thomas. They do. They are a lot of places. Like I was a TurboTax agent for a long time. If you're having trouble with your taxes, you're using TurboTax, you call in, you get to see your agent on the screen. It doesn't matter if you're on a computer or if you're on your smartphone. It's getting to be the same thing in the medical industry. You can see a nurse practitioner. You can show them the cut. You can show them the bruise or the rash from your smartphone. So it's starting to address those kinds of things where it's very impersonal.
And you know, there are so many things going with this type of thing. I know state government, federal government, now, instead of holding these big conventions where they would bring in hundreds of people to a central location, like bring all the county executives or someone down to Nashville to a big meeting, now they're set up in their offices with a multimedia connection to the main room where they're holding this at. They'll have their speakers there, and they may have just the people that live in the Nashville area, they'll be there in person, and then, but all the way out, they've got the big screen up, and these things are now set up. A lot of them, I do know that when they hold one of these things, that the person who is speaking, the equipment is set up so that it automatically goes to the screenshot or the camera of the person doing the talking, which is just like being there. It's amazing to be a part of some of these things sometimes.
They have a virtual backdrop sometimes. I have one in my own home office where I can make it look like I'm sitting out in the middle of Del Hollow Lake while I'm actually at a meeting with you. There's a whole new terminology, whole new language that comes with things like this, Thomas. And what they've done is they have turned seminars into webinars. That's what they call them
now. Okay, now let's drop back and focus in. Just exactly what are we going to do there at our center now?
What we're going to do is when you call 243-2511, we're going to make an appointment with you. We can give you a tour, or we can go ahead and set you up as a participant on the program. We're going to see what skills you have, what skills you need to brush up on. We're going to find out whether you want to work part-time, full-time, weekends, or evenings. And then we're going to help you find the company, Thomas, that's going to work best for you. And we're going to help you pursue that first work-at-home job.
And a couple of the skills that you're going to work with them on if they need some help.
We're going to get you back to typing with 10 fingers. A 35-word a minute is what's normally, I don't want to say required, preferred. We're going to hit you with some terminology in the industry. We're going to take you, give you a little Windows 10 course and help you understand that. So just going to get you ready to start using that computer as a tool for work instead of a tool to visit social media.
All right. Thank you, Julie.
Thank
it's
you,
been
Tom.
A pleasure having you here. And with that, I'm going to draw out a number for the winner of the cake today. And the winner of the cake today is Lisa Davis. So, Lisa, come over by the chamber office, pick up your little coupon, take it over to the Dairy Queen and pick up your delicious ice cream cake. And happy birthday to you, and happy birthday to all of those folks that celebrated birthday this past week. And we'll see you again next week here at the same time, same channel, WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country. And we've got everything shut down, I think. We'll turn the heat down just a little bit. And we'll see you again next Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. And with that, may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. And we'll meet you again here on your radio dial, 101.5, next Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. And until then, good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.